Good morning.
Look at that. He got the mic on and everything. That's a, always a good day. Always a good day. I'm a little loud. I feel like I'm a little loud. Okay. All right. And aren't you thankful for that? The reading today, the psalm reading, is new to us. We've been studying Matthew for several weeks now. And our next study is going to be Ephesians, which is a wonderful book, too. But we decided to do something different and in between the two books do a little bit of psalms. And we're going to do that each time we transfer from one book to the next. So we'll have a little bit of review of psalms. So for the next few weeks, you'll have Psalms 1 and then next week Psalms 2. Since this is new, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Psalms and look at some of the facts. Luther called the Psalms a little Bible in itself. It was written by several authors. David wrote the most, 73 books, and he used it in his worship as well. It was also written by his chief musician, Asaph, and some Levite musicians, the sons of Korah, and even his son Solomon wrote two of the Psalms, as well as a few unknown authors. The writings span from David's time, which was 1,000 years before Jesus, all the way up to 538 before Christ, during the reign of Cyrus. The Psalms were a prayer book and a hymnal that Jesus and his disciples used as well. In Jewish teaching, they had learned the Psalms from their youth. The Book of Psalms is actually written into five sections or books, including praises and laments and thanksgiving. It covers everything. Pastor Carol Peters says the writers wrote Psalms from the middle of their personal experience. And when we study the Bible, we study it from the middle of our personal experience. So it's full of everything. It has everything that speaks to our condition. It's a hymn book, as I said, but it's also a hymn, H-I-M, book. Because there's more statements about God in Psalms than any other book in the Old Testament. And finally, the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Psalms, will also give us understanding. So let's dive in. If I asked you to describe blessedness, many of you might use the word happiness. But it's very, very different. I researched on the internet and I looked up happiness. There were hundreds and hundreds of books, including business books, about happiness and how to be happy. The number one book is written by the Dalai Lama. But there are not quite as many books written about blessedness. But every single one I found on the internet were all based on faith in Jesus. And that's a good point, because it seems that we cannot be truly blessed without following the Lord. That's exactly what this psalm is talking about today. It begins, ironically, with what a blessed man is not, rather than what he is. It says, David gives us a how-to and what we should run away from. So David's how-to, to run away from blessings. If you wanted to run away from blessings in your life, you would walk with the wicked, take the way of sinners, or counsel with the ungodly, and mock people of faith. How many of you have ever had friends that mocked people of faith? I know I have. The ungodly forget the very most important thing, and that is that there is a God. He's the master of all, and we happen to be his creation. Now, if you created something, you own it, right? You can do with it whatever you will, right? But God created us, and for some reason, we forget that He is God and that we are not. We forget that too often. So to be blessed, we have to first live for Him. And if we walk the way of our past before faith, we're going to ignore Him. Most of us know our life before Christ. Drugs, alcohol, fights, arguing, losing things, losing people, not honoring marriage, talking a good game, but not living for Christ. How is that working out for us? We are mankind. We are not God. So while we're still on earth, we're going to experience some of the sorrows of fallen mankind. Sadness and sickness and anger and laziness and greed. If we're left alone to ourselves and our own limited resources, we're weak and our roots are in shallow ground. Even when we're really proud of ourselves for staying on track with God, we still are sinning in our thoughts. But coming up to verse 2, he gives us hope. How do we run toward blessings? David tells us we do two things. We delight in God's word. How many minutes a day? And number 2, we spend time meditating on his word. That's different. Remember, we're mankind, we're not God, right? We're going to drive that point home today. We're mankind, he's God. So how can we make ourselves spiritual? Well, I have a real blessing for you this morning. We don't have to. Because God is our creator, and he made us to be spiritual beings. Spiritual beings. As Yoda would say, spiritual beings we are. So our happiest time is when we start to feel near to God. That's when we're going to be our very, very happiest. It's going to be the best high we've ever had. It's going to be the best of everything we've ever had is when we are in communion with our Creator, right? When we open our hearts through prayer and we ask for the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he gives us. Let me ask you a question. Do you delight in anything? Rick and I delight in our grandchildren. They speed our hearts up. They make us smile. They give us true blessings just by being around us. Most of the time. Verse 2 says that we should feel the same about being with God. Does God's word control your lifestyle? It should always. Yeah. Does God's word control our lifestyle? If not, it's time for us to delight in him. Spurgeon says that each heart was created to be full. Every single heart was created to be full. It's either filled with God and blessed things, or it's filled with the unworthy and the disappointing. Now think about each one. Don't share it, but think about your life before you were spending time and have been given your life to God. Was it unworthy and disappointing? Do we mope around through our days, or do we come to church with joy and anticipation saying, I can't wait to see what I'm going to learn today? And why do we delight? Because we follow a book that is not just a book. We follow the living word. The living word. And in John 4, Jesus said, I'm the living water. We follow the living word of Jesus Christ, and it flows like water into us. It's pleasing to our hearts, and it gives us a little bonus on the end, eternal pleasures forevermore. So why would we not take delight in that? Is there anything that you renounce? Do you renounce anything that doesn't glorify God? Do you avoid the counsel of the ungodly? That means we have to stay away from anybody or anything that blatantly chooses sin. That means deciding that we are not going to live for this world, but we're going to live for our eternal home, because this is temporary. That may mean turning away from somebody we love if they continue to sin. We can only pray and influence for Jesus. And so we do our very best to influence for Jesus. Their heart has to do the turning. We just do the influencing. Verse 3 is my very favorite. I love the image in verse 3. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. I've read that verse many, many times because I love anything that has to do with gardening. But I missed a few things in all the times I've read it. This verse talks about being planted. And I missed the word planted. In my mind, I saw the word growing. He's like a tree growing by a stream of water. And everybody knows that when you see land come together and a little stream of water, trees pop up along it, right? Even in the desert. Mesquite trees. But they're trees. They're trees. I miss the word planted, though, because planted implies that somebody took it and cared for it. If you plant a flower, you set it in soil, you make sure the soil is soft enough that the roots are going to go through it. And you put fertilizer on it, and you put water on it. You plant it means you care for it. A Christian is like a tree that God planted by the living water, Jesus Christ, amen? Which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. If, when we want to return to old habits, when we want to shout in anger, when we want to give up, God provides His living water through the fellowship of believers in His Word. We've had many conversations with the girls in the jail about, is church necessary, or is it just necessary to read my Bible and pray and have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The answer is, yes, church is necessary. Why is it necessary? Because it's the community of believers that hold each other together, that hold each other accountable, that hold each other to the Word, that comfort each other when we have tough times, that rejoice with each other when we have great times. It's the community of believers. God provides living water through that fellowship of believers in His Word. Through our faith, the Holy Spirit has planted us by the stream of living water. The water feeds and it fills the tree. If you cut off a branch of a tree and you feel the wood inside, it's moist. And that's because there is sap through the water flowing through that tree, giving that tree life. And so our meditation of God's Word is just as important as reading it, because He has to flow into us, okay? We can read it with our eyes, we can process it with our brain, but He has to flow into us through our hearts. The water feeds and fills the tree. And so our meditation feeds and fills us. It strengthens us, like wind strengthening the trunk of a tree. Did you know that wind strengthens a tree? The wind, when a tree starts and it's tiny, the wind comes along, and those roots have to go deep, or that tree is going to go right on over. So the winds that come along for that tree strengthen that tree over time. That tree is waving in the wind, and it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, so that when the big storm comes, that tree doesn't go down. We receive that living water not just to sit silently beside the stream, but to grow, to provide shade for the weary traveler, to be beautiful in our changing seasons. Rick and I have been blessed to have God trees. We call them God trees because we get irrigation in our yard. And these trees, the seeds float in on the irrigation, and they plant themselves. They plant themselves wherever they want. We don't get a choice on that. But we see little trees about this high come up, little sticks, maybe a couple little leaves on it. We see them come up all the time. And I used to just pull them out and throw them in the trash. And in recent years, I've been shoveling them into a black bucket and bringing them down to the church. About, I don't know, 5 or 7 years ago, we brought a couple God trees in and we planted them right on the edge of the grass here so that they'd get some of the sprinkler water. And when you go out the doors, notice those two trees and how big and how strong and how much shade they provide, how big they've gotten. Recently with a community service team, we planted another 12 of them around the property. Now there's going to be a sacrifice to that because we're going to have to pay for water, right? But those trees are ultimately going to provide shade and cooling on this side of the building. Trees are a gift from God. And so are we. He feeds us. He waters us. He provides His Holy Spirit for us. And all we have to do is accept it. A free gift from God. Verse 4 and 5 talk about the wicked being blown like chaff, the unusable part of the wheat stalk. To be clear, these verses were written for Christians also, who are living for this world and pretending that God accepts it. He does not. It's a tough message, but we cannot live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. We've talked about that a lot here, because today, that's what Christians try to do. Too many Christians. We have to be all in for Jesus. And Christians who compromise their lifestyle are the same as any other wickedness. We all know temptation. In fact, we've all been at one time or another blown like chaff. And we cannot stand up to it without being plugged into God. That's why those of us who are going into the jails repeatedly warn the inmates, run away from old influences. Run away from old habits. Run toward God and regain God-given strength. Danny and I have often talked because there's times when she's having a rough day. And those are less and less because she's found strength in God. In the beginning, she said, I just wanted to run and use again, to numb everything and just make it go away. But problems never do go away completely. And now she's got the strength of the Lord. Verse 6 ends with joy. The wicked will be destroyed, but the ways of the righteous are watched over by God Himself. God has a love called hesed love. It's a Hebrew word, and it means love and commitment. Deep love and commitment. Regardless of how you love me back, love strips ourselves of self. Love takes on the union of Jesus Christ. He sees us struggling to obey Him, and when we fight for the, and He sees us as we fight for the evil that's grabbing us every single day. He sees us in His unfailing hesed love. So to respect Him, we have to join in the fight. We have to be warriors for Jesus Christ. Our resources are all limited, physical, financial, emotional. They're all limited. So we have one resource that has no limitations whatsoever. None. And that's our spiritual resource, which is God Almighty. He never runs out. He never runs out. So we must call on Him, because going the other way leads to our destruction. This psalm makes it very, very clear. That last verse is clear. I lost the last verse. That the way of the wicked will perish, but the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Our nature is now adjusted to God's will. If we are rooted in God's word and meditation, and if we request His will in our lives, we have entered the way of the righteous. Now God sees us in glory, and He watches over us. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. Our defilement is gone. Our faith has made us blessed because we delight in the Lord. Many years ago, Rick and I started saving for retirement. We did it in a time that we could have used more money. So it was really a sacrifice. But we continued saving when we wanted to spend. And it took strength and it took resolve. It took a little sacrifice and a lot of prayer. But we refused to be tossed about by the winds of what was popular each year. A Christian's life goals really begin the day he or she accepts Jesus. We're now focused on a future, and our future is in heaven. Amen? And we can do that with the joy of the Lord today, because He's watching over us. He can handle my mess. He can handle your mess. He's in control. Why did your stupid mistakes of the past not wipe you out? Because He is watching over you. So, brothers and sisters, we are that tree that's planted and cared for by the living water of Jesus Christ. I just want to close with talking about trees again, because I like to talk about trees. Do you notice in winter that a bare tree first sheds its leaves? I noticed it when I was reading this. It was the other thing that popped out at me. Whose leaf does not wither. When the trees turn in autumn, when they turn the beautiful reds and oranges, they drop off the tree first, and then they wither. They don't die on the tree. They drop first. Do you spend time, rest time, soaking in the nutrients and the living water of God in order for Him to use you for His purpose at His chosen time? Like the bright new leaves in spring, are you showing others your new growth in Jesus? Do they see a change in you? Are you bearing fruit for Him in your daily life, whatever He places, wherever He places you? Are you staying away from things that might cause you blight in your life and harm your growth? In the fall, Rick and I are in the fall. In the fall, will others be able to see your glorious colors, having spent a life meditating on His words and His desires? Can others see you shining life's wisdom and God's delight into them? Do you show your delight? Are you drinking in God's wisdom, preparing for your good fight, and delighting in Him? May it ever be so, because only then can we receive true blessedness. Amen.
Pastor Robin is in the fall. I'm an evergreen. Okay. So let's pray. All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you that of all people, of all time, in all places, you've chosen us and planted us by the living water, yourself, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you put a thirst for living water in our hearts, Lord, that we seek you each and every day in your word, and that we take time to meditate on your word and pray, Lord. And not focus on others, but on ourselves. What work do you have to do in us, Lord? We pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come into our hearts now. Speak to us. Change us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.